You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I've been Sampaio Chavez Ravine Fiends, rolling solo today as Jeff had to drive to the Suns baseball tournament after the opening day loss. Yes, the Dodgers did not win on opening day. It was not a fun game. There's definitely a lot to get into, definitely a lot to talk about, and that's what we're going to do today. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers Rev Gets Your Podcast. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. Yeah, so just a really ugly game by the Dodgers overall. They lost 8-5, in case you didn't see it. Clayton Kershaw did not fare very well. The offense fared very well in getting base hits and runners on base. They did not fare very well at driving them in. But we'll start right at the beginning. No surprise on the opening day roster. We already knew what it was. But opening lineup, Chris Taylor did start in left field over AJ Pollock. I'm not sure if it was a matchup thing. With Germán Márquez being a little bit more of a power right-handed pitcher and AJ Pollock struggling against right-handers, or if it was just giving Chris Taylor his due, giving him his flowers, what he deserved. He had a really great spring. AJ Pollock did not have a really great spring, and he honestly deserved to be starting on opening day. So maybe that's what it was. We'll see how the rest of the weekend plays out. Roberts did say that Taylor would start 3 or 4 games this weekend and that Pollock would start 3 or 4 games. So I would imagine Pollock's going to be in left field the rest of the weekend. And I'm not sure where he plans to have Taylor, maybe one at third and one at second, but we'll see. But yeah, opening lineup, that was really all the only surprise. But let's talk about Clayton Kershaw. And he didn't have a great spring. And, we kind of tried to shake it off a little bit. Just, spring stats don't matter too much. Maybe just working on things, whatever it was. And he wasn't terrible. If you look at his line at the end of the day, it looks really bad. But it's not like he was giving up a bunch of hard contact. He didn't give up any extra base hit or one extra base hit. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It was just a weird kind of outing. He had one walk that was not very timely. His defense didn't help him out at all. Corey Seager missed a ground ball that would have ended the inning that allowed another run to score. And then the fly ball, the triple that kind of started the scoring for the Rockies. I don't know, from where I was sitting at a decent view behind home plate at the game and a little bit higher up, it seemed like Mookie didn't expect the ball to carry that well. He was a little bit of a casual jog once the ball was hit. Looked like he was going to camp under it and make the out. And then he just kept running, and then he was sprinting, and then the ball was over his head for a triple. So, yeah, I don't know if it was a matter of, him still getting comfortable at Coors, big outfield. He just misread it. Not really sure. There's too much to read into there. But it's just an uncharacteristic play from Mookie. Seager later on made that error. And, yeah, it was just – the inning that kind of did Kershaw was the sixth inning, which I wasn't even sure he was going to come back out for. He hit for himself in the top of the sixth after he had just given up some runs. It probably would have been a good time to pull him there. His pitch count was very low, so that's why he remained in the game. But I honestly thought that Roberts was going to pinch hit for him, get him out of the game and get into that bullpen and just, save bullets where you can with Kershaw, especially first game of the season. But I can understand why he was allowed to go back out there and pitch, but I honestly didn't think he was going to. And that inning was just death by 1,000 cuts, a bunch of singles that just found holes. The Dodgers are all usually in shifts, and some of those hits were going to have been hits without, or most of those hits would have been hits without shift or with the shift. But the fact that they were in the shift and they were still splitting, they were splitting Lux and Seager a couple times, and there's not too much room there. So it was just a little bit annoying. Yeah, I mean, for Kershaw, he wasn't really missing too many bats. That's probably the part that's the most worrisome. But it's also Coors Field. I know he's allowed 10-plus hits a handful of times in his career, and almost more than 30 to 40% of those times have been at Coors Field. The slider doesn't slide as much. Curveball, even if his curveball's on, it can't work that well if he doesn't have the slider on. And then obviously his fastball, as we know, has gone down a little bit. And he can't really use that to be too effective or get too many outs. Yeah, I'm not going to be concerned about Kershaw yet until he has maybe an outing that's not that great away from Coors Field. I haven't gone back and looked at the highlights to see if how he looked, how the slider looked and everything. But for the fact that they weren't swinging and missing, that means the fastball differentiation and the slider differentiation weren't too much, probably on the same plane, around the same miles per hour. And, you know, while some of those hits were, like I said, finding holes, some of them were hit pretty hard and deservedly so were base hits. So, yeah, Kershaw's going to be the one to monitor over the next few weeks or whatever, just based on the bat spring, based on this. He's going to have to work to get that ERA down over the course of the season. But I'm not going to put too much stock into this start based on, what I just mentioned earlier about it being at Coors, slider maybe flattening out a little bit in the altitude and things of that nature. But it is something to monitor. The good thing for the Dodgers, if Kershaw is not that effective or does struggle out early of the gate, the Dodgers are coming back with Trevor Bauer tonight, coming back with Walker Buehler on Saturday, coming back with Julio Urias on Sunday. So they're going to have the pitching advantage the rest of the weekend. This probably was the game that was closest in terms of pitching advantage. The Dodgers were able to get to Germán Márquez. They were able to hit him. They were able to get on base via walk. They just weren't able to get that big hit to put him over the top. So, yeah, it was just a weird game. I don't want to get into the offense too much right now. I'll save that for a later segment. But in terms of Kershaw, yeah, it's a little concerning that he didn't do better, but it's also Coors Field where he struggled. Even in his best years, he struggled at Coors Field. While this Rockies lineup isn't that great, if you're throwing 90 mile-an-hour fastballs and sliders that don't slide, that look like fastballs, yeah, they're eventually going to get hit. And that's another reason why I think that he should have came out after that fifth inning, should have been pinch hit for, and let the bullpen play it out the rest of the way. But that's all in hindsight, and we'll just have to keep seeing what Kershaw does as in his next start and the next starts after that. So I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about the offense, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football's been over, but there's plenty of sports to bet on, especially MLB right now. And you can do it all at betonline.ag, all for free to sign up. It's not free to bet. You have to put money, but you can get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag. Their website is really cool. They have updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They got the new scores, everything you need on there to place your bets and place your smart bets. And like I said, it's free to sign up. So right now, go to betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get all the news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, back, and let's talk about the offense. On paper, 15 hits looks really good. They also had 8 walks. So with 15 hits and 8 walks, you would have thought that the Dodgers would have more than 5 runs at Coors Field, but they did not. And a big part of it was left on base, obviously. The Dodgers were 3-for-16 with runners in scoring position. They left 14 on base total. They left a run on the board. And a thing that I've seen before, but not the way it played out, Cody Bellinger appeared to have hit a home run, or he did hit a home run, but Ramel Tapia did actually catch it. But as soon as he hit the fence with his glove, it went over the wall. Justin Turner was on first base at the time, and he was running. He initially saw the catch. I'm not sure he saw clearly he didn't see what happened after that, the ball fell over the wall and was a home run. He put his head down and started sprinting back to first base. Cody Bellinger, who was trotting at that time, couldn't do much to stop Justin Turner, and I don't think he fully realized what was going on. Justin Turner ended up passing him, going back to first base. And as we know, or as you may not know, you may know, the rule is if you are the trailing runner, you are not allowed to pass the runner ahead of you. That's what happened. As far as what happened after that, Justin Turner was able to score like a home run. Cody Bellinger was called out. It's ruled an RBI single in the book. So the Dodgers did not have any home runs in this game, any home runs that counted in the book. And that was one way that a run was taken away from them. But like I said, 8-6 and 8-5, not too much difference there. But the Dodgers, yeah, like I said, they just never got that big hit. They never got the one to break it open. And it was kind of frustrating to see the first inning, first two guys get on, Mookie Betts, Corey Seager single. Justin Turner hits it to a killer double play. You know, Cody Bellinger gets out. Max Muncy came up with runners on base a couple times. He had three left on base. Everyone had a handful of people left on base. Mookie Betts left 7 on base. Justin Turner left 5 on base. Belly and Muncy and Lux left 3 on base. So, you know, it's first game of the season. Obviously, I would prefer that they didn't do that. And when you see the likes of Germán Márquez, he only pitched 4 innings, gave up 6 hits, 6 walks, but only 1 run. And then the Dodgers let Chichi Gonzalez, who ended up giving up 3 runs, in 2 innings, but if you were watching the game, that seems low based on how he was pitching and how it's Chichi Gonzalez, who shouldn't be shutting you down. And then the rest of the bullpen kind of took care. The Dodgers threatened in the 9th inning. They had bases loaded and nobody out after Max Muncy tripled, and then they got the next 2 guys on base. And, yeah, they didn't score. And the umpire was bad, I will say that. The pitch Edwin Rios struck out on was very outside, and I was upset at the time, but then I couldn't fault him after. But then the big move, I guess, that's been talked about, and rightfully so, Zach McKinstry, who had doubled early in the game after he came in the game in a double switch, he would have been the one to come up with bases loaded and 1 out. The Dodgers, or Dave Roberts, decided to go with Matt Beatty, citing why he did it, and I honestly was happy with Beatty coming to the play. We saw Beatty be very clutch back in 2019. We know Beatty's a very good hitter, a very good fastball hitter. Daniel Bard was throwing a lot of fastballs upwards of 97 miles an hour. Dave Roberts liked the matchup of him against velocity, and honestly, at the time, I was fine with the move. In hindsight, it didn't quite work out, but we're not sure what McKinstry would have done, but Matt Beatty stared at 3 pitches and then went back to the dugout striking out. Some of the pitches were borderline or maybe a little bit outside, or one of them was a little bit outside. But, you know, when you're up there at the plate in that moment, you can't let the umpire beat you. And none of those pitches were amazingly far off for him to not take the bat off his shoulder. So that was a little bit disappointing on that end. You know, I was fine with the move. Obviously, it didn't work out, but I understood what he was going for. And honestly, Matt Beatty, I would be more comfortable with him at the plate than Zach McKinstry, just based on what we know and what we've seen, and especially in the major leagues. So, yeah, it was not great, but that's the way it goes sometimes. Beyond that, you know, there's not too much to hang our heads on after one game. Mookie Betts did have 2 hits, but like I said, he also left 7 on base. Not ideal. They did only strike out 6 times, which is a good thing. You know, they're putting the ball in play, making contact, even though a lot of that stuff didn't turn out the way they wanted. Hopefully they come back the next 2 days and really beat up on the Rockies pitching and show them, you know, Coors Field is a place to score runs, and they need to score runs. But, you know, there was some good. But Cody Bellinger had the home run. He also had a double. He kind of picked up where he left off at the end of spring and in the freeway series. Looked really good at the plate. That's nice to see. Max Muncy, who looked not too great in his first 2 at-bats, ended up getting 2 hits in his next 2 at-bats. So that was exciting. Gavin Lux had a big clutch hit and looked good at second base. Made a couple nice plays, a couple routine plays. But, you know, routine plays are good for him, as we're still kind of monitoring that situation. And Clayton Kershaw had 2 hits at the plate, which when he came out to bat in the top of the 6th, you know, not for the fact that I wanted him to be pinch hit for, because I didn't think he should be pitching anymore. But he went out and slapped a single, and it ended up working out. But the Dodgers had a couple or maybe not a couple, but uncharacteristic outs. Corey Seager tried to take third on a ball when Mookie Betts was ahead of him and going to score. Seager ended up getting thrown out at third, just really right before Mookie scores. So good thing Mookie's always hustling, and he scored pretty easily. But, yeah, Seager thrown out to end the inning. They might have picked up another run there if they were able to. So it was just a little bit disappointing overall in terms of how the offense performed with runners in base. As we saw last year, two outs, runners in scoring position, and runners in scoring position, the Dodgers were really, 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 really good. And yesterday they weren't. But I expect that to kind of even out over the time. Obviously, you know, Rockies pitching isn't that good, so the Dodgers should treat them that way. And we'll just have to see how it goes. But I would imagine, other than Will Smith being back in the lineup on Friday, and like I said, A.J. Pollock in the lineup and left, Chris Taylor, if he does start tomorrow, I'm not sure if he's going to be at third or second, or if tomorrow or tonight will be the night he gets off. But lineup should pretty much stay the same at the top, and then a couple guys change out at the bottom. I'm sure to see where they put Will Smith in the lineup. You know, probably six behind Muncy. Maybe seventh. We'll see how it goes. But they should have a stronger offense just based on that part with Will Smith in the lineup. He did get to bat, but he got hit by a pitch there in the ninth inning and, to load the bases. So we'll see what happens, but hopefully the offense can figure it out and pick it up. All right, going to talk about a couple more things from opening day and what to look for the rest of the weekend. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Now, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar, the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. And they took the time to find out which Built Bar is the best during Built Bar Madness. The champion has been crowned, and it is Coconut Brownie Chunk, your Built Bar champion. And honestly, I can't really argue with it. Coconut Brownie Chunk, that Built Bar is delicious. It's definitely in my top three. And depending what day you ask me, what day of the week, it might be top one. It was really, really, really good. And, you know, 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, 7 grams of sugar. It's still pretty healthy for you. And it tastes like a delicious candy bar. You need to go get Built Bars. And right now you can do so at BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCK15 for 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aaron Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Let's finish up and start by talking a little bit about Jimmy Nelson. Jimmy Nelson came in. Clayton Kershaw went 5 2/3. Corey Knebel came in and got one out to close out the sixth inning. Jimmy Nelson came in for the seventh inning and didn't really have a great time. He gave up a double. He had a couple walks. And then I'm not sure if him and Austin Barnes couldn't get on the same page. If something was up with Austin Barnes, I'm not entirely sure. But Jimmy Nelson ended up throwing two wild pitches that led to two runs. On the second one, Austin Barnes, he missed it so bad. It was a high fastball, and obviously Jimmy Nelson missed his location and going Barnes setting up low and then a high fastball going over his head. But, you know, as a catcher, you kind of got to be ready to adjust for everything. So it would have – I'm not going to fault Barnes too much. And I'm not going to fault Nelson 100%. That stuff happens, but it was just bad timing. And everything seemed to go wrong for the Dodgers yesterday. So that was just a cherry on top to that. But then Austin Barnes, trying to make a play at the plate, ended up getting spiked in his hand a little bit, ended up coming out of the game. Will Smith came into the game. But Dave Roberts said that Austin Barnes is fine. He'll probably be in the lineup Saturday to catch Buehler. And, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But this would give Dave Roberts a good opportunity to not put Austin Barnes two of the first four games of the season, let Will Smith catch people, and let Will Smith figure out how to develop a rapport and let our best offensive catcher be in the lineup. But I'm not going to get too far deep into that point right now. We'll see what happens. Maybe he won't. Maybe Barnes won't start on Saturday. But, yeah, Jimmy Nelson, who looked amazing during spring, was looking really good. First time pitching in a couple years, so maybe it was just a little bit of rust, a little bit of nerves. whatever it was, yeah, like I said, did not come in and pitch well. And after not pitching for a couple years, coming in your first start in Coors, maybe it's a little bit different. You know, couldn't find what he was looking for. Like I said, him and Barnes didn't look completely comfortable. They did have a meeting, I believe at least one meeting. Like I said, Barnes had a couple wild pitches. One of them was just a pitch that got away from Nelson a little bit, but nothing out of the ordinary to where Barnes just didn't make a play on it. So we'll see what happens there, obviously, with Jimmy Nelson. Not too concerned. You know, anytime or anybody this series that doesn't look completely 100% great, we can chalk it up to the Coors effect for now and then push judgment onto later times after we've seen them in non-Coors environments. So that's what we're going to do with Jimmy Nelson. Scott Alexander, hey, came in, threw an inning in the third, gave up no runs, also had no strikeouts. But, yeah, I mean, he was effective. And the good thing is the Dodgers only in a game they gave up 8 runs. They only used 4 pitchers, and one of those pitchers only threw to 1 batter. So this will be fresh for the rest of the series. You would imagine that Bauer is going to give them some length tonight. Buehler should give them some length on Saturday. So they should be fine in terms of bullpen-wise. It'll be interesting to see how Dave Roberts handles it. With Jimmy Nelson pitching yesterday, you would imagine that might put him out for the rest of the series unless they absolutely need him. They're probably going to be trying to be not overbearing using in his usage early on, kind of get him, ease him back into it. So see how it goes. Nothing too concerning, but just like a little, like I said, annoying. It was a fun but not fun game. The Dodgers were up, then they were down, then they were tied, and then they went down again, and then they almost came back, and then they didn't. So, but, you know, give me 15 hits and eight walks any day of the week, and I'll take it from the Dodger offense and expect it to have more than 5 runs. But I'll close out in a little bit. You know, we'll talk, like I said, Bauer tonight. Buehler Saturday, Julio Sunday. The Dodgers will have significant advantage in the pitching matchups the rest of the way. Kyle Freeland's on the injured list, so they won't have to face him. John Gray is John Gray. We've seen him plenty of times over the years. He's hit or miss, but he's been usually miss and not that great against the Dodgers. So the Dodgers, you know, should handle the next 3 games fairly easily, but as it remains to be seen how easily that will be. But I'll close out with just how the experience was at Coors Field. It was a beautiful day. It was 66 degrees, but the sun was shining. The sun was strong. Most people were in the sun most of the game. I'm sure there was a lot of sunburned people out there. Luckily, for me, I was in the shade, so I didn't get to deal with that. But I believe the final count was 20,570 people, which was a fairly good amount and a lot more than the Dodgers have played in front of in a while. Actually, more Rocky fans than I thought, but I think over the weekend it'll probably be more Dodger fans that show up. You know, maybe couldn't get off work on Thursday, but they'll be able to get off for the weekend. But yeah, I mean, it goes, if you're hesitant or on the fence about going to baseball games this year, you know, I would, you know, recommend getting vaccinated if you are able to do so and you're comfortable doing so. That's probably the most comfortable you'll be in order to go to some of these games. In terms of Dodger Stadium, I'm not sure how much they're going to bump it up with LA moving to the orange tier and being allowed a higher capacity of fans. I believe it can go up to 18,000 fans. I'm not sure if they're going to go all the way up to 18,000. Because of social distancing and the way they have to spread out the seats. I'm not sure if they can go that high, but we'll see. I'm sure they'll announce it. And, yeah, I mean, here was probably a little more – it was a lot closer than I was to anybody at the World Series. There was people in the row ahead of me, right below us. There's people in the row literally behind us, whereas in Texas you didn't really have anyone in the row ahead of you. And if they were, they were further down the row, so they weren't really close to you. But it was, you know, Coors Field, first time there. It was really beautiful. Like I said, great weather. I'll be here Friday and Saturday. If anybody's out here and wants to say hi, just hit me up on Twitter. But yeah, I mean, it was, other than the game, everything else was good. Like I said, beautiful day. Saw a lot of friends out there, a lot of Dodger fans. I got a couple more friends coming in for the weekend, so I'm excited to go back there and check it out. But like I said, if Dodger Stadium will probably be a little bit more safe or safe feeling in terms of social distancing protocols when you're actually in your seats. Rocky fans, they had 42% capacity. And like I said, you're definitely within 6 feet of people if you're just sitting, everybody sitting in their normal seats. So if you're thinking about that in Colorado, maybe you don't come out here. But I'm sure, like I said, Dodger Stadium will have less. They'll probably be more spread out. And it'll probably be feel a little safer for you. But yeah, that's really all I got. Jeff will be back. We'll probably both be back on Monday to talk about the rest of the weekend series, unless something crazy happens over the weekend. But thank you all for listening. That'll do it for today's episode. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Make sure to rate and review us if you have the time. Make sure to tell your friends about us. Dodger season is officially back. And, you always want to get your updates from us. You always want to spend 20 to 30 minutes in your morning with us and talking about the Dodgers. So make sure to do that. Make sure to download the Locker Room app. We will be doing a Locker Room segment or a Locker Room chat every week. And we're probably going to start giving out prizes to those people that join and ask questions and participate. So if you like free Dodger stuff, make sure to download the Locker Room app. Follow Jeff at Snydog. Follow me at Vincent91. Follow Jeff on Twitter at Snydog. Follow me on Twitter at Vince Amperio. Make sure, like I said, to follow Locked On Dodgers. And if you want to get a hold of us, you can do so via phone or text at 323-863-LOCK or via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Take your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
D, I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!